Hello everyone and welcome to the Veg Grower podcast. My name's Richard and this is episode 115 titled How I Grow Strawberries, and today is May the 8th 2017, although this week's podcast is coming out a little late, and this is just due that on the Monday that I normally release the podcasts, on the Monday, I was just so tired when I got home from work. I've been napping in between jobs all day. I think this started on Sunday as well. So I just didn't produce the show because I didn't think that I would have been able to produce a decent one. Instead, I went straight to bed and started fresh today. So apologies for that. I hope you understand. If it's a problem, let me know and I'll give you a discount. Anyway, let's get on with the diary, as always. So, during the week, I've been monitoring my plants, in particular ones outside, and seeing how they're coping, seeing if, like the tomato plants I had outside, if they seem to be doing okay. So, I've been moving more of my tomatoes and my courgettes and cucumbers from the cold frame and getting them ready to go outside. And pretty soon, they will be planted in the garden, which will be great, because that'll save me a hell of a lot of work with various things. And as I say, the tomatoes been doing okay, it's meant I've moved more tomatoes around and things, so it's pretty good. I'm paying close attention to the watering at the moment, as it's been pretty dry. We had a little shower a couple of weeks ago, but not much. And I've heard on the news today there's talk of drought this year, which I might do a post later on this week about, and I'm thinking of doing a next week podcast about dealing with droughts and water storage and things, because that is a big issue with me, I find. I have heard we're expecting rain on Thursday, so here's a little tip. Before Thursday, go out to your water butts and fill all your buckets and watering cans up with water. That way, you can save a bit more. Anyway, back to the diary. Saturday I was at home and we have a privet bush out the front of our house, and I gave it a really hard prune, and this I then run over with a lawnmower to shred into small pieces, and I put these prunings in a bin to take down to the allotment, which I went down on Sunday. As I said, I was feeling a bit tired, like I needed extra time in bed, and I didn't really feel like doing much, but I took down the shredded privet things and I placed it on the paths or on the path to suppress weeds and stuff. It should work, and actually as I was plunging my hands into this privet bush, it was already warm, as if it was composting down. It's really hot. It's quite exciting, actually. It's quite surprising how quickly it warms up and how hot it gets. So, yeah, Sunday I'm down the allotment. I've put the prunings down. I didn't take any water with me, so I couldn't have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, which probably was a good thing, because I would have probably just sat down drinking coffee all day. Instead, I spent a while weeding a lot of weeds, in particular on the older half of the plot, because it's getting quite rampant at times, so I'm trying to keep on top of it. I've started emptying and turning more of the compost bins and getting the compost out that's decent and letting the unrotted down stuff back in, ready to carry on rotting down. I'm actually planning to grow pumpkins and melons in the compost bins, just to make use of the space and what have you. More on that later on in the year. I planted out some of my shallots, but I just weren't feeling it, and so I got halfway through and I've got to do the other half. And I did notice that on my strawberry plants, I took a photo a few weeks ago of the flowers. Well, some of them have started turning into strawberries, so it won't be long until we get some decent strawberries. Follow this up by giving everything a really good watering. I mean, twice as much as I would normally do. Now, I should add that during the week on Friday, if I remember right, I got a package from Sutton Seeds containing my sweet potato plants, which I'm really pleased about and in fantastic looking order and what have you. And these have now been potted up and that'll be good to go. So that's the diary taken care of. I was expecting a bit more, but as I think because Sunday my heart wasn't in it, I just struggled to get anything done. In fact, actually, I just remembered one more thing. Sorry, I forgot to make a note of this. I potted on a blueberry bush into the trough that I brought a couple of weeks ago. It's just an ericaceous soil. It should be pretty good because it's going to be watertight and blueberries are bog plants, so they like a lot of moisture. The featured image of this week's podcast is of how that looks, although it's a bit lost in the ivy. So with that all wrapped up, let's discuss how I grow strawberries. Now, I love strawberries. The strawberries that come straight from the plot, the flavour is so much better and fresher, whereas short-bought strawberries, the variety is basically bred for a decent long shelf life and decent transportation and what have you. And I have to admit, whenever I buy strawberries from a supermarket, in a punnet, there's always a few that are a bit manky, so I tend to not like them so much. Well, where do strawberries originate from? Well, the original garden variety was actually bred in Brittany, France, in the late 18th century from two varieties of wild strawberries which originated from northeastern America and Chile. But before that, the wild strawberry is mentioned in Roman literature, but I struggled to find anywhere where it actually originates from. But it certainly grew in forests in France, and this is the wild strawberries, and they started propagating the wild strawberries and getting them cultivated in France. And one of the kings, I believe it was. Now, there's a difference between wild or alpine strawberries and the standard garden strawberries. And basically, wild or alpine strawberries are tiny little things. They're probably no bigger than your thumbnail sort of thing. They're tiny. Whereas your garden strawberries are obviously much larger and a couple of mouthfuls on a decent one. The wild strawberries are actually very, very flavourful. They're really, really good. They're just quite small and fiddly. I've tried growing both of these types from seed with very, very little success. So I now grow them from where I bought a plant and grown runners. Now, when I've bought a plant, I've planted them in a well composted position, decent sunlight for a garden variety, whereas the wild likes to grow in shade from the frost. From the forest, if you like. But they do like plenty of moisture to keep them going. Once planted, keep them well watered and fed with tomato feed. And you want to continue this right throughout the growing season. I say tomato feed, my wormery feed does quite well as well. I try and do it about once a week. Comfrey feed is also very good as well. I also like to place straw under the plant to mulch the soil and prevent the strawberries from rotting. Now, the garden strawberries I also like to plant underneath trees to try and act as a mulch underneath the trees as well, if you like. So, like kind of a symbiotic relationship there going on. The wild strawberries actually do very well in a raspberry patch, which is where I will be doing them in the future. The only other thing I really do with them is to cover them with a net to prevent birds getting to the fruit. And all the caring is just keep them weeded, well watered and fed. And they're really that easy. Strawberries are ripe when they're completely red. You can look at them, I mean, if you've seen a strawberry in a shop, you know what a ripe one looks like. But it's worth checking the strawberries every other day as they come into harvest time, because they can ripen pretty quick. And they can also go past ripeness very quick as well. And if you once once you find the right one, just pick it and take it and what have you, and do what you want. If you find any that have gone ripe or overripe or rotten, take them off immediately. The more you pick, the more they will try and grow more. So once you've finished harvesting, cut away any old leaves that have gone brown and what have you. Get rid of them. Again, they're no use. By late summer, the plants will send out runners, which are like baby plants growing on an umbilical cord, if you like, from the mother plant. Now, these baby plants can be cultivated to expand your crop. And basically, what you want to do is take these runners. You either, if you want it in the soil, just place them on the soil, but get some staples, some garden staples or something to weigh it down so the roots go into the soil. Or you can pop them into pots and do exactly the same. Just get those roots rooting, if you like. Keep them watered and fed. And once the basically roots they've taken, cut away from the mother plant. Keep monitoring them. Keep them well watered. Keep them fed. And you should be able to grow more strawberry plants. Now, you can easily get four runners from one plant. So you can, if you start with one plant, which you probably won't because they're quite cheap, but if you start with one plant, next year we'll have five. I'm not even going to work out off the top of my head how many more you'll have the following year, but you can quickly get more and more going. Which is quite handy because experts say you need to get rid of the plants after 3 years because they're not as good. I find they still produce okay after 3 years, but they're not as great yields, I will admit that, but they can still produce. So what I like to do is plant out, I start with the first year, the original plants, take the runners and use those for the second year that we planted, then take the runners again for the third year, and then after that the first year plants can be removed and I would use more runners to replace those. So you're not going to lose out by replacing them every 3 years. Just well worth remembering. And as it's easy to propagate and get more plants from these runners, it's easy to do. And it doesn't cost you any more. You can soon get, say, a lot more plants from a lot less, not much money. The main problems I have with strawberries is with slugs and snails, which I tend to try and just pick off and feed to the chickens and what have you. Birds is the other problem, but I find covering them with netting so they can't get to the strawberries works. Another thing I've done is taken a reasonable size, about the size of a stone, about the size of a strawberry, and painted it red and put it in there before the strawberries start developing. So around about this time, a bird will come along and see it and think it's a strawberry, try pecking at it and find it's a stone, and then it won't bother. That's the theory, and it does work, and I've tried it myself, so worth doing. Now, the only other problem I've really had with strawberries is keeping them well watered, but that's more down to me than anything else. So that's how I grow strawberries. Anyone has any tips or tricks to add, please get in touch. As I say, strawberries are so, so easy. If anybody's out there is a beginner, I do recommend you just go get a strawberry plant and plant it. You won't regret it. It is that easy. Now, as I said, if any tips or tricks, get in touch. And talking of people getting in touch, I had a couple of questions by email after last week's podcast about keeping chickens. Firstly, I want to say, anybody that wants to ask questions, please do get in touch. I will answer them, and I don't care how many questions you ask. I love the questions. I love getting feedback from you guys that listen and contact and stuff. It gives me a really good boost. You know, getting the likes on Facebook and Instagram and all that sort of stuff. It's brilliant. Also, when you ask questions, it gives me perspective of things that I may not have thought about discussing. as such as this first question that came through. And the question is, how much does it cost me to produce one egg compared to shop bought? So I quickly worked out in the first year with the price of a coop and setting up, the cost of the chickens and the feed and all that sort of stuff. I worked out for the year. I then worked out roughly how many eggs each chicken laid throughout the year and worked it between the two. And in that first year, I worked out it cost me about 36p an egg. Now, in the second year, I haven't got the coop or the cost of the chickens involved in it. I allowed a bit for a few things here and there and what have you. And it worked out about 23p an egg. Now, to compare that to supermarkets, Tesco's free-range eggs work out about 26p an egg. So it's not a huge saving. If you go to Poundland, you can get 12 eggs for a pound, but they're probably not free-range and what have you. That being said, supermarkets' eggs can be quite a few weeks old by the time you get to them. So my eggs are a lot better in freshness. We certainly noticed the improvement in the baking as well. And also the flavour is better. And I know what my chickens have eaten. I know how well they're looked after and all like that. I also should point out that my chickens actually do work in the garden. Their poop and their waste materials in the coop and stuff has made my composting a lot faster and better, a better quality compost. So that is a definite big bonus. They also eat weeds and dig up and stop weeds and hoeing. I don't actually have to hoe the veg patch that much because they do it for me. They also eat slugs and snails, so I don't need to shell out for slugs and snails bait and stuff like that. So all that taken into account, okay, I may not be saving a huge amount, but I am in other places. And the next question was, how long do I keep my eggs for? Now, my eggs sit on the counter. They're not refrigerated. And I've had them there for up to a couple of months. And they're still perfectly fine. When I collect them, I don't wash them, as when they're laid, they are naturally coated in some sort of seal. And if you wash them, you wash away that seal, which lets them get in, lets air and moisture into the egg faster. So I don't wash them. If you're unsure if an egg's good, you can test it by placing in water. If they sink to the bottom, they're fine. If the egg looks like it's starting to stand up and trying to float, they need using immediately. And if they float, they're no good. Now, you're probably wondering why I don't refrigerate them. And years ago when I was an apprentice, I worked in an egg factory. And I was chatting to the people there, and they actually told me that refrigerating eggs is the worst thing that you can do. And they basically said the result is that when you cook them, if you're boiling the egg, the shells tend to crack more if they're out of the fridge. And if you're frying an egg, they spit more. I thought that was quite interesting. And I know most domestic fridges come with egg compartments, and you immediately think that's where an egg should live. Well, if you've got any doubt, look at where they're stored in a supermarket. They're not refrigerated in a supermarket, and if they needed refrigerating, a supermarket would do it. So I don't refrigerate them. And as I say, I don't see the need in it. But of course, if you don't believe me, don't feel that's true, but by all means, refrigerate them, by of course. So that's it for this week. I'm going to wrap up. Fairly back down to normal size podcast, thankfully. I say thankfully, it makes it easier for uploading. Although the last two, I have figured out how to get them uploaded. So I'll be re-editing them and getting them up properly. But anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, any questions or anything, get in touch either through the website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, or email me at richard@theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. And I will speak to you again next week.